for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, February the 22nd, 2015. Callie Ritchie is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Jezebel, Roots, Effect, and Remedy.
Callie, you want to come up? That was such a blessing yesterday.
Yeah.
You agreed when Merrill asked you to come and share. The rest of the morning is yours.
This has been a good weekend. I've enjoyed it. I've got a lot of healing in my heart this weekend. I'm grateful. I want to start out with a prayer. Yahweh, my Father in heaven, thank you for being our Abba, our Daddy. You are holy, pure, just, righteous, and awesome. You are El Shaddai. You are Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior and Deliverer. You, Jesus, are Lord of all. I confess that we have all sinned, but as born-again daughters, we have been given the righteousness of God in you, Christ Jesus. Your name is the name above all names. In your name and under your authority, I bind the strong man over myself and everyone here. I bind mind and heart-binding spirits in Jesus' name. I bind deaf and dumb spirits in Jesus' name. I ask you, Father, to send your warring angels into the heavenlies and bind and cut off Apollo, Baal, Asherah, Jezebel, and her daughters, goddesses, and all fallen angels who would oppose this work. I repent for any pride amongst us and ask that you cut off Leviathan and all sons of pride. I ask this in Jesus' name. I bind all light spirits here in this atmosphere, as well as all witchcraft, sorcery, hexes, vexes, charms, and all rituals performed against this work in Jesus' name. I break the power of all visualization and every soulish prayer released against anyone here today and their families and all that pertains to them. I ask you to bless anyone who has committed those sins against God's people with godly sorrow that leads to repentance in Jesus' name. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for the anointing that destroys yokes. And thank you, Jesus, that you became manifest here on earth to destroy the works of the devil. I bind and forbid all false coverings and apply the blood of Jesus to every person here, especially to any wounds that are not yet healed. Let Yahweh arise and the enemy be scattered as civil war is loosed in the demonic camp. Lord, I surrender this ministry to you and invite you, Lord Jesus, to get yourself some glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Get yourself some glory. This teaching came, the Lord has been having me go over some things in my heart because I was being affected. And it was stuff that I thought I had been delivered from. And I learned that I have deeper wounds, deeper places that came from mother wounds. And so whenever the spirit started attacking me, I knew that I was supposed to go and get myself some more healing and figure out what it was. Where's the root? So this is Jezebel, the root, the effect, and the remedy. Who was Jezebel? There are two Jezebels in the Bible. The first one is found in the Old Testament, and the second one is found in the New Testament. Jezebel in the Old Testament, the first time the name Jezebel occurs in the Bible is when she's getting married to King Ahab in 1 Kings 16:31. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And it came about as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, which means king of the Sidonians, and went to serve Baal and worshipped him. She was an evil woman who killed many prophets of God while feeding and caring for the prophets of two gods called Baal and Asherah. And that's 1 Kings 18:1-19. In 1 Kings 18:20-46, Ahab, Elijah, and 450 prophets of Baal gathered to see who is God. Elijah says it simply. How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. That's in 1 Kings 18:21. What followed was a one-sided contest. The followers of Baal prepared a sacrifice, but Baal never sent fire to consume the sacrifice, even though the 450 prophets called to Baal all day, pleading, "O Baal, answer us." Then they even cut themselves with swords and lances, and still Baal did not answer. Baal never responded. Finally, Elijah poured water on his sacrifice three times. After Elijah prayed, God sent fire from heaven to consume his sacrifice. Elijah kills the prophets of Baal. Therefore, Jezebel sought to kill Elijah. In 1 Kings 21, 5-25, Jezebel had Naboth, the Jezreelite, killed so that her husband could own Naboth's vineyard. What a wicked woman. Eventually, Jezebel was trampled to death by horses in 2 Kings 9, 30-37. Then the dogs ate her flesh, leaving only her skull and the palms of her hands. What a horrible way to die. Jezebel was a wicked, evil, adulterous woman who was fighting against God. The Jezebel in the New Testament. The name Jezebel is used for a woman once again in Revelation 2:18-29. Here Jezebel is described as a prophetess, a false teacher, an immoral woman, and an idol worshiper. She attended a church at Thyatira. She encouraged those who attended the church to engage in sexual sins and worship other gods. "But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality." Revelation 2:20-21. She was like the Jezebel in the Old Testament. They share many of the same characteristics. God warned this Jezebel that he would punish her if she did not stop teaching this evil and repent. God not only warned Jezebel, the teacher, he also warned her followers to stop and repent. That's Revelation 2:22-23. "And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds." The Jezebel spirit is a spirit undergirded by rejection, rebellion, fear, anger, control, and fear of losing control. The reasons and roots for the Jezebel stronghold. Babies are born to be normal, loving beings. We need to examine why anyone like a Jezebel would turn evil or be open to an evil presence that would dominate their thinking. Scripture says we war not against flesh, but against evil spirits and principalities in high places. We have to remember that Jezebel is a spirit that infects people who are victims as much as those that they are damaging by their behavior. First, it is important to control or arrest the damage that the infected person is creating. But we should not stop there. We should examine the roots of the problem with the person and help deliver them out of this situation, if possible. If we can get to the roots of why someone has a Jezebel spirit, then we may be able to help free them from that overpowering influence and help them to recover. Otherwise, the salvation and eternal destiny of their soul is at stake. Common doorways that let Jezebel in a family line. Abandonment of father, either literally or spiritually, even by playing the role of Ahab to a dominant mother with the loss of spiritual and physical protection. Especially in America, in the last 50 years, The absence of the father in the home is not just economic. A little child, a girl especially, needs to have a strong male image that teaches her that she is valuable, loved, and protected. When this male covering is gone, their life seems out of control and hurtful. The child will immediately go into a mode of self-protection, learning ways to control its environment to avoid further pain. And the mother may seem inadequate in some cases, and the child may see the mother as the one who sent daddy away, and therefore responsible for her pain. If the mother is a traditional stay-at-home mom, then the child learns that this mother cannot protect her as they feel needed, and they grow up viewing traditional women as weak and incompetent. The mother was not good enough to keep her man. Jezebel, like all other spirits, can run in family lines. Long lines of upside-down, female-dominated family, which is contrary to Father God's order. If the mother is abusive, then this makes women the enemy forever. If the mother is a liberated woman, in the liberal sense, the child learns that only women are powerful and only they should be trusted and bonded with. If the mother has values that are against traditional moral values, then the child will end up on the slippery slope into lesbianism and homosexuality. If daddy seems to make it known that he left for another woman, or that he openly expresses his interpretation and value of love as sexual, then the child will learn to get daddy's love. Then the child will learn that to get daddy's love, it is sex that will get his attention. This lesson will be transferred to other men that a boy or a girl will want to be involved with. The child will look for love in all the wrong places and will use sex and not love to lure others, since they do not know what true love is. Godly love from a male figure. They don't know what that really looks like. Child abuse, especially sexual, since it is so intimate, has permanent consequences. The National Center of Child Abuse and Neglect, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, compiles data about the number of cases reported to Child Protective Services each year. But the fact is, the number of reported cases is small compared with the number of actual cases. Abuse can be verbal, sexual, and physical, all which can result in permanent trauma for the child. The trauma will either cause amnesia as a coping mechanism or result in replay and lifelong torment. Abuse begets abuse and will quite often carry on to the victim's children. Only the love and power of Jesus Christ can destroy that cycle. Take a look at these statistics from the counseling world. 1,500 children die from abuse each year. There are 140,000 injuries to children from abuse each year. About 1 in 4 women in North America were molested in childhood. More than 2 million cases of child abuse and neglect are reported each year in the United States. An estimated 150,000 to 200,000 new cases of sexual abuse occur each year. Approximately 1 in 7 males will have been sexually molested before the age of 18. The effects, but not all, include disturbances in sexual interest, difficulties during sexual contact, dysfunctions of desire, arousal, or orgasm, seductive behaviors, compulsive activity and prostitution, precocious sexual behavior, confusion of sexuality and nurturing behavior, anxiety, self-destructive behavior, relationship problems, and re-victimization. We can see how the doors to the Jezebel spirit are being opened here, since she is known by many of these traits. The abused child will understand sex as physical stimulation only, and will disassociate love, intimacy, and trust from the experience. Thus others become objects of stimulation and gratification. There is no place for a real relationship because they do not understand what one is. And Ahab's father, Jezebel's mother in a family, children get their identity from their parents, who are the role models. In both abandonment and abuse, there is a lot of anger, rage, and bitterness. There are memories that have never been healed, and the person cannot forgive those in their past. This unforgiveness subconsciously motivates every decision made regarding relationships. Trust is gone, and the other person may hold suspicion of everyone that resembles those that betrayed them from an earlier time. The younger and more vulnerable the child is when things go wrong, and the more repeated the injury, the angrier the adult will become. This anger at the past that was out of control for them will be channeled into controlling everything in their present and their future. The unforgiveness acts as a self-defense mechanism, since they are acting to prevent further injury, making sure to hurt others first. Abusive relationships in adulthood. If the abusive adult relationship reinforced the childhood abuse, this more deeply ingrains the Jezebel spirit that has infected the person. As stated earlier, abuse begets abuse. The demons know full well how to steer already hurting people into another train wreck. Lack of general moral values in home growing up, or social or early social influence outside the home, which contradict morality. If there are no moral values taught in the home as to right and wrong, then any value set can arise, which is totally demonic or antisocial. The outside influences include school teachers and fellow classmates who may come from non-ethical backgrounds. If teachers, for example, usurp the authority of the parents and teach values contrary to the moral values of the home, then the parents can be undermined and the child can go out of control and turn into a nightmare for the parents. A good example of this teaching is that homosexuality is acceptable to children as an alternative lifestyle. This moral corruption of children will lead to aberrant behavior later, especially since they are being taught that their parents' morals are a lie, and they can rebel against the parents if they wish. Early influences also include those from the media, where immorality and violence is celebrated. Any child who learns early on that there is no God or no morals, and there is no one to answer to for their behavior, ends up creating their own rules. That do what you want attitude is godless and can lead to anything, even murder. Abuse, abandonment, misuse of authority all contribute to forming the personality by Jezebel, dominated by Jezebel, like behavior. A believer influenced by Jezebel's spirit may not intend to destroy a family or church. However, individuals who operate in varying levels of rebellion and witchcraft have destroyed many families and many churches. Witchcraft is able to work through an individual who tries to take control. Manipulation and control is strengthened with each successful control of another person. Full of self-pity and pride, an individual's soul is endangered by deeper demonization. This type of witchcraft can be performed without occult involvement, even by Christians who profess Jesus as their Lord. People who operate in more mature forms of witchcraft are determined to impose their will, no matter what the moral cost. In the case of Jezebel, her use of manipulation control, her manipulative control resulted in murder. Yahweh, our Abba Father, hates witchcraft. It hinders relationships in which honesty is vital. Since witchcraft violates the will of others and their ability to choose, it greatly damages a husband-wife relationship. It also is destructive in parent-child relationships and relationships with other family members. In situations in which conflict arises, those who operate in this spirit refuse to communicate truthfully, and sometimes not at all. Furthermore, they will employ artful, unfair, or insidious means to gain advantage and achieve their goals, thinking that their cause justifies their actions. A root of bitterness then develops. Rejection begets bitterness, and bitterness begets rebellion. Rejection is one of Satan's most effective forms of oppression. Rejection may keep a sinner from coming to God for salvation and a Christian from reaching his or her full potential in God. It undermines, breaks, and prevents normal and harmonious relationships between family members, marriage partners, fellow workers, and friends. It also distorts our image of God as a loving Heavenly Father who loves us and wants only the best for us. The dictionary defines rejection as an act of throwing away or discarding something or someone, which implies a lack of value in the person or thing thrown away. Being rejected then makes us feel valueless or worthless. Being denied love is at the root of rejection. Rejection, whether active or passive, real or imaginary, robs Jesus Christ of his rightful position as Lord in the lives of his children and keeps believers from experiencing the vitality and quality of life that he alone can give. Rejection results in wounding of the heart, sometimes so painful that the mind refuses to deal with it, so we bury it in our subconscious. Later, it surfaces in other ways to cause us problems. Rejection is the greatest undiagnosed and most untreated malady within the body of Christ today. Regrettably, a large majority of those coming for prayer suffer from feelings of rejection. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any fail of the grace of God, or lest any root of bitterness springing up disturb you, and by it many are defiled. Rebellion in all its forms has several roots, one of which is bitterness. Bitterness opens a door by which a Jezebel spirit slithers into a person's soul undetected. Bitterness often takes hold in our lives when we feel we are being overlooked for recognition or honor. Self-pity sets in, and people knowingly or unknowingly begin to seek ways of getting attention to display the gift they believe that they have. Bitterness resides in our soul because it is a mental stronghold linked to selfishness and pride. Bitterness may be directed toward God or anyone whom God endows with authority. Since bitterness often is a reaction to a perceived injustice or to an unjust authority, it will provoke a person to react against all authority, whether just or unjust. Bitterness brings despair, but since bitterness is tied to pride, this despair will drive people to design schemes that promote their gifts. Bitterness is truly sinful. It deeply damages people and leads to lawlessness. As with all sin, bitterness must be recognized, repented of, and healed through God's grace. Bitterness brings sour fruit. A root of bitterness will produce varied fruit. It may birth immorality as described in Hebrews 12:16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. There will be a lifelong anger and resentment, or a pattern of broken relationships. Moreover, a root of bitterness is contagious. A bitter spirit will infect many others. The cross is the stopping point for all bitterness. Jesus alone is the great physician who can deliver us from demonic torment. His anointing alone turns us from our rebellious ways. A bitter, rebellious heart can be transformed into a grateful, obedient heart as it is touched by the grace of God. After such deliverance, the person must decide to submit to God-given authority. Submission is a decision rather than a feeling, which an individual needs to make. A continual practice of submission will produce meekness. Remember, Jesus said, "The meek will inherit the earth." Matthew 5:5. Let's look at the definition of meek. Mild of temper, soft, gentle, not easily provoked or irritated, yielding, given to forbearance under injuries. Now the man Moses was very meek above all men, Numbers 12:3. Appropriately humble in an evangelical sense, submissive to the divine will, not proud, self-sufficient or refractory, not peevish and apt to complain of divine dispensation. Christ says, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your soul." Matthew 11:29. Without deliverance, there will be a root of bondage developed. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Romans 8:15. A root of bondage leads to fear and produces spirits of legalism, depression, servitude, enslavement, and control. Someone enslaved to a Jezebel spirit, either as its vessel or its victim, cannot taste true liberty. Scripture says that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Freedom brings about responsibility and accountability. Yet those who operate with the Jezebel spirit will welcome responsibility, but not accountability. They will perceive accountability as slavery and avoid it like the plague. Often individuals in the grip of the spirit are unable to sense their adoption as a son or daughter of God. They feel isolated and uncared for. While striving to meet their own needs, they embrace a victim mentality because life owes them something. Even if they are given an extravagant gift, they exude a lack of gratitude, feeling they deserve whatever was given to them. In fact, they always feel more should be given to them. There's never enough to satisfy. As the bondage increases, fear prospers. Look at Job's words. "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me." Job 3:25. Fear, which is a lack of faith, opens the door for a Jezebel spirit to enter an individual's life. A mindset of fear may begin in childhood. It then continues until an individual's soul gains rule and begins to control him or her. A spirit of fear, a mental stronghold of the soul, may lie to a little girl. It will whisper, "I will protect you. I will be your refuge from other people's domination. I will give you control." This spirit's deception happens subconsciously because it bypasses a child's understanding and moves directly to influence an individual's actions. Therefore, a spirit of fear causes us to learn to react to situations with fear. A spirit of fear always gains its influence during our weakest moments. These moments usually follow on the heels of an episode in our life that has left deep scars on our soul. Weaknesses can also arise from spoken fears of our parents and others. Unfortunately, many well-meaning parents use fear to control a child rather than developing a child's ability to make wise decisions, saying things like, "There's a boogeyman in the closet," or there's a boogeyman under the bed, or saying they're going to leave the child when it's time to leave if the child isn't ready to go. A root of fear can be removed by the Spirit of God. But individuals must be willing to pay the price of prayer, patience, and forbearance. They must also desire to forgive any authority figure who has wounded or abused them. Strongholds, lies spoken by seducing spirits are very subtle. They arise as thoughts spoken into a soul by a cunning and shrewd evil spirit. At first, the thoughts seem logical and just. Once they are embraced, believed, and accepted, these thoughts become embedded into our subconscious mind. They become a way of thinking, or in other words, a demonically inspired mental stronghold. Your conscious mind may never knowingly process the thoughts that enter in from that point on, unless you receive a revelation from God and discern that a demonic spirit is trying to control your thoughts. Most strongholds take root during our childhood years. Generally speaking, your parents probably did not have the discernment to nullify such attacks of spiritual warfare. Even those parents who were able to discern a lying spirit often were not adequately versed in the Word of God to teach their children how to defend themselves against such attacks. Consequently, we have all become potential prey for Satan's lying snare. 2 Timothy 2:25-26. In meekness, instructing those that oppose himself, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. To agree with a lying spirit is to become its prisoner. Such dishonest spirits are demanding prison guards. The same spirit that works through and for them also works against them to keep a person from escaping. In a twisted way, these demonic prison guards will try to convince an individual that their prison cell is actually a vehicle that will bring about their long-awaited position of honor. But it's an illusion. Whenever we accept the enemy's lies, we then willingly accept rejection, insignificance, and insecurity. We begin to doubt having a loving Heavenly Father. Consequently, a stronghold of fear will produce untold anxiety and depression. Once Christians are able to recognize these strongholds, they can find true freedom. Removing the spirit of fear will sever a major root of the Jezebel spirit. Freedom and inner healing for past wounds are accomplished by renouncing false trust in an evil source and by receiving renewed trust in the Lord Jesus. There is a root of pride. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth, Revelation 17:5. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and I am no widow, and will not see sorrow, Revelation 18:7. Pride is the taproot of a Jezebel spirit. Pride involves lifting or elevating yourself in order to rule in stature or influence. A spirit of pride is contrary to the Holy Spirit. Spirit of pride is also unlike the heart of Esther, who humbly entreated her authority, her husband the king, to hear her petition. Because of her meekness, her cries were heard and the nation was saved. Nor is the spirit of pride typical of Deborah's heart. As a prophetess and a judge of Israel, Deborah did not want to presume or wrongfully take leadership that belonged to another. Instead, she stepped into leadership only at the insistence and invitation of the leader. Jezebel despises meekness. She's full of pride, which is the opposite of humility. In Scripture, Jezebel is portrayed as glorifying herself and living luxuriously. Full of presumption, she decided to sit as queen. Revelation 18:7. This arrogant spirit will despise the lowly estate of a widow or of any woman. This puffed up spirit views meekness and humility as inherently worthless and debased. As such, this spirit despises subordination to authority because to be submitted to authority would require a sacrifice too great to offer. Instinctively, this haughty spirit uses seductive qualities to lure others into its schemes. Desperate for attention, people under the dominion of this spirit desire the infatuation and adoration by others who are then led to their death. Discerning Jezebel today. The end times will begin marked by great conflict between systems of light and darkness. Satan is using every diabolical scheme to oppose the church in its completion of the Great Commission. One of his most effective schemes is the control spirit called Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel represent a frenzied Baal and Asherah religious orchestration. This is a partnership of rebellion and stubbornness, or witchcraft and idolatry. We are witnessing an empowerment of the Jezebel spirit, and we must be informed and need the discernment of the Lord. The biblical Queen Jezebel typified a form of demonic control to perfection with her rebellion and manipulation that her name has become. It has become synonymous with the working of these spirits. We will refer to this spirit as she because this spirit is characterized by a female name and most often expresses itself for women, through women, but not exclusively. Jezebel warns the church of the last days. Jesus warned the church of the last days not to tolerate the spirit of Jezebel. Those who are operating in the spirit teach, beguile, and seduce others into immorality, false worship, and even idolatry. The Jezebel spirit is a major obstruction to restoration and revival, God's order, and authentic faith. The working of the Jezebel spirit is a system of intimidation, manipulation, and control. She is a master of web-spinning strategies like a spider who spins the web to catch and hold her prey. The web is spun by winning the trust and confidence of those she wishes to control. Her goal is to consume and destroy. Both the victim and the one operating in Jezebel must have their eyes open and fight their way out of the web with repentance, discernment, deliverance, counsel, and new habits. Ahab cooperates with Jezebel by letting her have her way and not pursuing God-appointed destiny. All in authority, no exceptions, are her target. Discerning Jezebel in a Christian context. Jezebel operates in Christian families and organizations, although in non-Christian settings, she has the same deadly ambition. Jezebel has mastered a sophisticated ability to manipulate and control without physical force. She works undercover and behind the scenes. She draws power from fear and intimidation. Here are some characteristics of Jezebel operation in a Christian context. Lust for attention, promotion, and insist upon recognition. Appears to serve God, but it is an inroad to establish her agenda and gain control. Plays religious games. Camouflages desire for control with religious talk. Frequently claims to have heard directly from God. Seeks teaching leadership position to gain stature and control in organizations. Searches the church, organization, and family members for allies in her conspiracy. Relentlessly point out problems, often exaggerating, manipulates or disregards male leadership, resents credible men and women, betrays others through knowledge of their personal lives, and uses blackmail to create compromise. Feels elitist. Others are never good enough spiritually. Often knows the scriptures well, using them for her benefit. Judges others by quoting scripture and condemns them in the name of discernment instead of interceding for them in the name of Jesus. May appear loyal and might volunteer for special service. Pretends to be submissive and humble to gain a strategic advantage. Hides from true repentance. May appear repentant, but not from the heart. Vaunts herself in her own strength and pride over her achievement or gift. As we go through these characteristics, if this is convicting, repent. If it is reminding you of another, don't judge them in unrighteous manner. Repent if you have. Forgive them and pray for them. If we judge in an unholy manner, we become what we judge, especially with this spiritual dynamic. More signs of Jezebel. May be involved in sexual sin, sensual looks, and have a seductive voice. Stimulates, entices, persuades, provokes, sets up, and stirs up. Charms, manipulates, and harasses. May be loud and bold, quiet and cunning, positive or negative as needed. Places blame and guilt on others to shame them. Uses either truth or lies to slander in order to destroy reputations. Uses partial truth seasoned with well-placed lies to spin a web of deception and entanglement. Manipulates as a way of life. Uses cunning when others are straightforward. Changes opinions and may contradict herself. Compromises when necessary to get what she really wants. Uses or asserts another's authority. Wears people down to usurp their authority. May build up and then tear down. Sets people up and then springs a trap. Keeps everybody off balance, not knowing how to take her. Uses emotions to her advantage. May use the silent treatment to her advantage. Undermines self-worth and confidence in others. Probes people's character in order to locate weak spots to exploit. Plays one person or group against another. Works friends against friends and destroys relationships. Claims to have been misunderstood when challenged. Will enlist false witnesses to testify against another. Talks and pulls strings behind people's backs. Will attack anyone who gets between her and her goals or those that she controls. Fear of the Lord is absent, opening the door to destruction. When two people under the Jezebel spirit are together, they usually contend unless it is to their advantage to form an alliance in order to obtain their personal agendas. What does it look like when Jezebel strikes? And this was originally going to be the title of this. You know you've been Jezebel's when.
Yeah.
You know you've been Jezebel's when, for both men and women, fear comes. Jezebel made a career of control and manipulation. They must be in control. Insecurity, distrust, self-rejection, usually from painful childhood experiences and bad examples in the home. Remember that fear projects fear. Even Elijah was fearful in hiding in a cave from the threat of this woman. They are self-focused, self-referenced, ego-driven, and unable to accept that the world is not revolving around them. Such self-centeredness is idolatry, which is attributed to a Jezebel as whoredoms in 2 Kings 9:22. And it came to pass, when Joram saw Jehu, that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many." Any god one makes with one's own hands must be viciously defended by flesh power. Fear leads to the desperation of peace at all costs. When Jezebel has extracted painful pound of flesh, so often you will do anything not to cross her. It becomes easier to make peace and allow the wrong behavior to continue than to tangle with such a vicious fighter. You may feel defiled, robbed, and discounted as a person. You have received the message, you don't count. You are a non-person, except as a pawn in my world. Jezebel has appointed the world to make her happy. The victim of Jezebel does not feel like a person, only an extension of the Jezebel agenda. It is a form of emotional abuse that must be broke free from in order to live a life more abundant. The person inflamed by Jezebel is a fierce competitor and a dirty insider. She intimidates, manipulates, or violates you into submission or silence. There can be tremendous resentment built up in the victim for being discounted as a person of worth. She has violated your sense that you're precious in God's sight. Something is terribly wrong in your relationship with this person, and you might be made resentful when she tells you that it's all your fault. Anger. The victim of Jezebel can become very angry, first at the Jezebel. This anger is fueled by the sense of failure, fractured trust, being used, misunderstood, and the feeling of helplessness to defend against the abuse and hopelessness that the situation will not change. Then the anger turned inward. Why do I keep letting her do this to me? Guilt and shame. Guilt arises from your Christian sense of conscience. Resentment and anger are not nice Christian virtues. You can receive guilt by phone, text, guilt by mail, guilt by gift, guilt on Facebook, guilt by misuse of prayer and scripture. This is shame. And Jezebel is a master at blaming and shaming others in order to achieve their ends of control, holding power over you, putting down, staying on top, and demanding recognition. They need for others to be wrong so they can be right. Self-hatred and self-doubt. You become worn down by the bombardment of constant criticism, one-upmanship, and scorn. You can feel beaten down by unrealistic, never satisfied demands for more. You can feel condemnation. I should have. Why did I? Why can't I? What is wrong with me? Jezebel fights unfairly. She hits below the belt. She extracts a prize for every small victory. Depression. Fractured trust, resentment, violation, and anger turned inward, compounded by guilt and shame, can lead to depression. Is it any wonder that antidepressants are so commonly described when this spirit is running rampant in our country? Fogginess and confusion. After an encounter with Jezebel, you can be in a fog, confused, almost feel drugged. Doing routine tasks may be difficult. It might take days, weeks, or months to get over such encounters, and just when you're feeling strong, whole, and confident again, bam. You're on the end of her bungee cord again. By surprise, attack, and deception, she keeps her victims off guard. You might even say, "This is crazy. Am I losing it?" When she appears pious or good, it really gets confusing. discouragement and loss of motivation. You might feel disoriented. You could be paralyzed by discouragement, self-doubt, and the loss of motivation. You don't feel like yourself, and in fact, you might even doubt that you know who you are. But the Bible describes the actions of Jezebel as being like witchcraft. The Jezebel power is a counterfeit power, not God-given authority. Hopelessness and helplessness, loss of vision. The vision for your future can become blurred. You can feel like you are being held hostage by her. You can feel like you are being held hostage by her because of something of value to you. Perhaps the ability to see a family member is at stake. Maybe you don't want to make a scene. She may control the purse strings. Jezebel wins by the element of surprise. Be aware that this spirit works by surprise. Often, when you think things have settled down, it rears its ugly head. Extreme dependence, indecisiveness, and an inability to make decisions. This spirit can cause you to look over your shoulder in confusion from being constantly second-guessed. Fear of disapproval from the person being driven by Jezebel. The Jezebel spirit wants to neutralize your ability to think and act independently. Or there can be aggressive independence or a combination of dependence and independence, vacillating between the two, creating further confusion. Depending on the personality of the victim will become codependent or fiercely independent. Many people build walls as their only means of protection. Many are drawn by this control. You will either agree with Jezebel, or there will be war. The idols of Jezebel were the false god Baal and goddess Asherah, who were both war gods. They were war gods, as well as fertility gods. Until the spirit is defeated, there will be war when you engage in it. Our life passes. It will always have a target. People operating in Jezebel will violate your trust and be disloyal. They will violate your confidence, reveal faults, and uncover the details of your life to others with exaggeration and distortion. Something feels wrong. You can become enslaved to the whim of another dependent. You can become enslaved to the whim of another, dependent on her pleasure or displeasure to set your mood and agenda. People being manipulated by this spirit can be cut off from close friends and family. Her agenda is domination and superiority in all relationships. It can be subtle, but it is fueled by a fierce jealousy. She cannot tolerate rivals, and must be the star of the show, the bride at every wedding, and the corpse in every funeral. She will send alienation into any relationship, trying to play one off against the other. If two people appear to be getting close, or too close, she will have to be in the middle of it, monitoring the situation closely. The spirit can cause strife in the closest of relationships. This generational stronghold is repeated over and over in the family dynamics of Jezebel victims. Just the anticipation of being with a Jezebel in your family often creates tension in a marriage, as well as affecting other family members. Sometimes conflict is created over silly things. Spiritual dullness. You could experience spiritual dullness, feeling shut down spiritually like you can't hear from God. Always remember that this spirit is from witchcraft and idolatry. The person operating in the spirit of Jezebel would rather you hear from men than from God. There can be unhealthy bonding with other women, drawing wives away from their husbands. This spirit will agree with your flesh in any attack on godly authority. There can be great pain and grief. You may feel walked on, devalued, discounted, disgraced. You may have been cut down, mocked, shamed, a victim of sarcasm, and an unholy look of the evil eyes. Jezebel is the master of the zinger, sharp, biting words, physical symptoms. Some experience being physically drained, exhaustion, tightness in the chest, inability to sleep, heaviness, loss of appetite or overeating, headaches, digestive problems, back problems, high blood pressure, with enough abuse from this spirit even leading unto death. This spirit is like a bird called a shrike. It impales its victims on a thorn, and it picks it apart bit by bit.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.